Welcome to Behind the Sass. One of my favorite podcasts right now is Smartless. Nothing to do with partnerships, but I love the patter between the three hosts on there, and I have to be careful. I would love to have that here, just 2 minutes of nonsensical talk. But hey, you know what? I've done 20 seconds, so let's get to it. This week, partner influence. I'm going to try to get to the technical architecture here. I want to talk about architecting. We'll talk about advanced plays. We'll talk about caveats because that's what I tend to focus on. But I want to start by just acknowledging that partner influence is a very soft and mushy topic, that it is not defined, that people are not entirely sure how it impacts, and Asher's used that word this week, not entirely sure how it impacts the organization. So it's nice to have, but I've yet to see anybody personally talk about partner influence and say, oh, well, you know, this partner has influence across 45% of our opportunities, and those opportunities all have closed at a high. Like, I haven't seen that kind of back-end reporting come out of this kind of conversation yet. Partner sourced? Yes, because it's very tangible. Oh, that came from that partner. That came from one partner, not 15 partners. We can only give one of them credit. Or can we? Yeah, really, you can. So this week, we're going to talk about partner influence. I'm not going to worry about whether or not it's a valid concept at this point. I know that I've had to implement some work around this. Lots of people are asking about it, so I'm trying to help them solve the technical problem. I would challenge you to make sure if you don't have sourced attribution lined out yet, I wouldn't worry too much about influence. But with influence, the first thing we get to talk about is whether you want to use direct or joint object attribution. When I say direct here, I don't mean direct sales. Don't get confused. I mean directly on the record you want to attribute, typically your lead or your opportunity. My rule of thumb is pretty simple. If you're only going to have one winner, then putting a attribution on the record is good. It's fine. It makes your life more easy. It's not complex. That would typically be for sourced, right? Partner sourced field reference on the opportunity or lead. That is something that you want to consider because you're not going to have more than one partner probably sourcing it, and you may get that registration as a different object. So it might come in as a lead. You might convert it and attach it to an opportunity like, oh, good, we'll put this on that opportunity and we'll drag that partner value over into the partner source field. Salesforce can do that. Again, don't make your life more complex than it has to be from an automation standpoint. And a lot of PRMs, by the way, if you're going to show deal visibility through the PRM or the system, you will need some sort of direct attribution on that deal. Not sure how PRMs are really solving the influence problem right now. I haven't seen that. Beyond that, if you're using multiple points of contact, multiple partners might be involved, then you have to do a joint object. And this is something that's becoming more demand. A lot of system admins will just tell you, no, we can't do that. I'm not going to add 15 reference fields to the opportunity for partners only. That doesn't make sense. We're going to lose our, you know, our accounts and all that for that stuff. But you do the joint object, you can do as many as you want. You just have to build it. And we're going to talk about that now. So with the joint object, you can actually create, you know, but I want to have an influencer, I want to have a connection relation, I want to have a variety of different types of influence. I pulled a list of six out of an article from Crossbeam. I'm going to reference that also in the article just because I needed a list of values. It'll be different at every company. The architecture, though, right? The architecture for what you need here is pretty straightforward. Again, none of the stuff that we talk about on my podcast is really advanced plays. This is basic architecture tools and things within Salesforce that pretty much any point and click admin like myself can accomplish. You need a custom object. That object's going to need a custom page layout. It's going to need its own lightning page layout. Salesforce will default you to a basic one that you can't do anything with, and it's not even visible in your list of layouts until you create one. You need your partner account field reference, your partner contact field reference. Clearly, you know, limit those to the partner and then further from the partner to the account for the contacts. Any opportunity fields, so get the opportunity reference field in there. Which one is it associated to? But also, like, any data you want to pull back for reporting, right? I want to pull in some data right on the object for reporting. We'll do that as well. Pull whatever you want. A field for influence type. This is important. It's a single select or a multi-select. Lots of companies will pick multi-select pick list and drive data in that way, and they're not thinking about the long-term headaches that creates for the ops people you bring in later or for yourself if it's you that has to clean up the mess. Multi-select pick lists are not flexible, not really, not with historical data updates and other things. Like, they just become really messy because it's like an open text field on the back end when you go to do searching and reporting. So I would veer toward a single select pick list here and avoid the multi-select. There's caveats, and I got an article link you can read about too. approval status. So if you're doing any kind of approvals, then you need an approval status, approval person, like a reference field there to users, and an approval date. Maybe an approval reason or denial reason if you want to keep up with that as well. And then you want to actually make sure the object that you've created gets on the layout for opportunities or for leads or for whatever it is that you're trying to track. Typically, I'm seeing partner influence at the opportunity level, not at the lead level. And once again, lead versus opportunity and utilization largely depends on your ABM rhythm, because companies are moving away from using and looking, I'm using air quotes here, at leads as a data point. They're auto-converting those, creating contacts, putting them on the account, and using your enrichment data from companies like Sixth Sense and DemandBase to figure out where the account is, right? So we're not even touching leads. And PRMs, I don't think, have really caught up to that either. Other data, though, that's another caveat. Like, what if you can track other things? This is what you'll hear the partner relationship object. And this is talked about widely, at least in partnership leaders. Lots of partner managers or partner ops people have implemented this. This is just an object that's going to connect relationships. Now, how would you do one object to get influence plus other types of relationships? Record types. So you might have a PRO, partner relationship object, with an influence record type. And on that record type, you got your custom page layout with all the fields you want, and you use that on opportunities. You might also have a partner relationship object for customers where, okay, cool, I want to know what partners are working with which customers and the status of that relationship. Is it services? Is it services and delivery? Is it integration? Is it partnership? Like, however they're working with it, you would have another record type for your partner customer relation. And you put the fields you want on that with the page layouts and stuff. And you could put that on the customer account. And you might pull that into your opportunity, because now on the opportunity, we can see who's influencing the deal and we can see who should be influencing the deal. And maybe those records for the customer connection are coming straight from your account mapping. Again, account mapping, this is customer to customer. Let's go create a PCO, partner connection or partner relationship object for the customer side. And let's make sure we track that relationship and status of where that's at. That's an idea. Basically, record types give you that flexibility to work within one object. And you still may want to create more objects. Just depends on your business. You got to look at what people need and go from there. Advanced plays you can look at. My friend Clark Wright has talked about leveraging Salesforce out-of-the-box features, but acknowledges they're limited. Another guy I know is working on a write-up around that. I'm very excited to see that, because I've never worked with the standard stuff. I've always found it limiting from the box in terms of like engagement and your ability to manage stuff. So I've always just done custom stuff. So I want to hear more about that. But Clark will automate attribution from the product list, because the way his partnerships work, if they're selling a specific product, that automatically means that partner gets influence credit or influence on the deal. And they want to see that separately from having everyone know that product comes from a specific vendor, right? They can probably get some of that reporting against the product level, but he's automating that. So sellers don't have to do anything extra. That's great, right? I'm all for reducing the work that anyone has to do, including myself. I don't really want to be doing daily ops. Ticket management and change management, because the systems don't make sense. I want everything to be automated and fully self-supported, and that's kind of where I want my ops role to be. So I love this idea. It helps me get automatic attributions, pulling it from the product item line items on the opportunity product list, takes the work off people's shoulders. I love it. Another thing is basically, in terms of advanced plays, just get automation in play. Whatever you can do, if you're doing approvals, try to automate the approvals. Look at your program terms. Look at building in some logic that says, great, this has been created. Partner meets all the program terms. Opportunity meets all the appropriate standards for deal size, product mix, whatever you can do to automate it, and automate those approvals. So again, less work for your team, less work for channel team or partnership team, less work for direct team, less work for ops. Automations, you really need to include that on the front end, or at least make sure it's in your roadmap for development and your blocking capacity to get to it. That's key. People leave this stuff on the table all the time, never come back and do it. So you get technical debt and you start hiring people down the road and your CAC ratio goes up and your ops expense goes up because you need people and you're not automating, and then you don't have time to do it anymore. And you may have caught me in a rant. I'm going to take a breath. The caveats for all of this, folks, reporting is still the goal. It's great to understand influence, but let's not forget that we are here to understand partners' impact on the organization. I'm going to go back to my prior article, Show Me the Money, by program, by partner. I really just want to see partners involved and all of our key stats from by partner and by program for the whole organization. That's what I want to see. And then we can break down how they do that from there. As mentioned, out-of-the-box features exist, but they're limited. Look for something from Brian Hadaway. I'm definitely going to reference that and share that when I see that hit the ground. PRMs may not align for opportunity visibility without a direct attribution. I mentioned this before, so you need to talk with ops and your vendor. Hey, we want to do influence objects, and we want to bring these into the PRM and give the opportunity visibility for this and engagement across the influence object, not through opportunity. Can you help us manage that? Sure. It's still a subjective concept as well. This is number four. You may want to build a list that works for you, but how does that tie to revenue and payouts? How do you tie this to performance? How does your internal team view this compared to your partner? Look at all these questions and more. Ask as many questions as you can to validate that influence makes sense for you to begin tracking. And again, if you don't have source tracking in place and you are getting referrals, go do that first. CRMs will typically require advanced licensing models. I'm working on a write-up of this. I'm trying to talk to a few people and do some actual interviews for the podcast down the road. You can't do this on your basic levels of HubSpot or Salesforce or Zoho or maybe even Dynamics, whatever. You need advanced licensing that gives you custom object creation that starts at the professional or enterprise level, depending on the platform you're at. So far, my early calculations show me that Salesforce is probably going to be cheaper on a user per user basis than HubSpot to get this done. Stay tuned. You can run out of custom objects. So you're also going to hit limitations if you're creating a bunch of custom objects for partner support, which is what you're going to have to do. You're going to be arguing and fighting with direct over the utilization of those objects because they need them too, or marketing or customer success needs them. Like, everybody wants some of this custom world. How are you going to get that in there for the influence? Custom objects also require a custom report. Just a great call out from Clark in another chat. Depending on your administrative or support set, this is just a little bit more annoying. There's ways to do it. It's just creating it a couple of times, and you have to manage the report type to change it if people need more data. So it's worth doing well if you do it. Start out strong with a good, you know, use case analysis, and that'll reduce your work down the chain. It's not something that's impossible. But then also the single versus multi-select pick list. Guys, I'm at 11:45. It is so hard to get these into 10 minutes when I go over 1,000 words. The wrap up here is that you can do this. It's possible, and you can do it from internal planning, just a little bit of internal planning with the tools you have. I'm a big fan of just leaning into your existing tech stack to get these things done. You don't have to run out to another vendor. You're not going to get anywhere at this point. I think asking salespeople to go into yet another system to do their work, they already have too many systems. Partnerships don't have enough systems. Like, there's this really big imbalance in the tech world, and with the economy doing what it's doing, I'm reading an article I saw just yesterday. I'm going to reference it. I can't remember who I read it from. Highlighting and kind of pulling back and recognizing that software spend is becoming more critical. They're still spending software, but they're spending less on software, and they're looking for vendors that can do more for them. So all people are in partnerships. They just don't realize it. That's the next last summary. Partnership is all about collaboration. When you're trying to get this done, lean into your tech stack and lean into your teams. Ask them for their advice. Say, hey, I saw this write-up. This is one way to do it. What do you guys think about this option? Would this work? Let your technical teams help you build your solution. You're going to build awareness. You're going to build credibility. You're going to build collaborative, and people are going to become aware of partnerships. Thanks for your time. 13 minutes. Good night. I will get back to 10. I promise. Thanks for listening. Good luck partnering.